It is good to be in the house of God. Praise the Lord. Do you all realize this morning God can change your situation at any time? Do you all believe that God can change your situation at any time? I struggled this week because I said it's Christmas time. I need a Christmas message, and I wasn't really getting much of a Christmas message, but we'll see what happens. We actually in Matthew chapter, I think it's 20, but I want to read it from, read the story from Luke, because Luke talks about Zacharias, where in Matthew they go from the healing the blind straight into the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And so I as I was researching, I was comparing passages, and Luke had Zacharias right after. So if you would turn to Luke, Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. This story is also in Matthew, but we use in Luke today. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing the crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacharias. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus. I keep saying the wrong thing. I did that Saturday too at a meeting and got corrected, but hallelujah. Don't let anything stop you from doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Zacchaeus. I don't know why I keep saying that. Praise the Lord. And you all have me saying it this all time. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. "Hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. How dare he do that?" And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I had defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come into this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." When I read that, I believe that's what God had for us today. This last verse that we read, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. One of the things we should see about this season is why Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and we all are part of that whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, that the world may be saved through him. This season should really place in our hearts a sense of God can change situations and he can do it instantly if he desires. As I look at this blind man, he was sitting there and he was doing exactly what he probably did every day. And all of a sudden, he heard a commotion. And he inquired. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the first thing the people in the front says, you shut up. What's wrong with you? You're making a commotion here that we don't need. But that man cried out even, I could just imagine he even cried out louder. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. What stops you from receiving God's mercy? What stops you from getting what God has for you? You know, it's a good thing you all had to correct me because I was going to tell you about yesterday. Yesterday I had a meeting and they gave me I've always wanted to be a spiritual director in a Tres Dias. I've never been a spiritual director. I've always done it for the young folks. I never did it for the adults. And they called me and they asked me if I'll be one. And they hand me it and I'm reading this thing and I'm saying, I don't know. I can't remember what I was calling the word. And the guy standing next to me said, that word is obstacles. I was calling it something totally different. But I kept going like nothing happened. Sometimes we allow certain things to hinder us from being all that God wants us to be. I wonder what is in your life that hinders you from doing what God wants you to do. Or receiving, because what I see is when you're doing what God wants you to do, you're actually receiving the best blessing you could have from the Lord. Here is this man that does not have his eyes. And he hears a commotion. And to me, because he was blind, this is just me, I'm thinking, his hearing senses has been enhanced. Instead of hearing somebody one door down, he's hearing somebody five doors down. So I could imagine he was hearing about Jesus. He heard people in the streets talking about Jesus. He heard people talking about how Jesus healed this one and how Jesus healed that one and how Jesus did this. And all of a sudden, he's hearing this noise and he said, guys, what's going on? Help me out. I can't see. And they said, Jesus. And the first thing come to his mind, today is my day. And he says, Jesus, Son of David, I need mercy. Let us not be like the crowd. Sometimes people are crying out to God for mercy. And we, the righteous one, the we that could see, we trying to avoid them from receiving their mercy just because they're not crying out the way we think they should cry out. or the way we think they should go about it. But this man, he inspires me because what he did, he said, I am not concerned about you. What I am concerned about is I need mercy. And I know the only place to find the kind of mercy that I need is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, have mercy. And Jesus says, who is that over there? Bring him to me. He gets to Jesus and Jesus said, what can I do for you? Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I read that, I had a lot of things in my mind I could have asked Jesus for. And he says, restore my sight. And instantly, his situation changed. From darkness to light. Folks, this is a season where your situation can change like that. If you would go to the source. If you would only go to the one, the only one that can give you that kind of mercy. You know, I thank the Lord that brother that was standing next to me and corrected me. You know, he did it so gently and so nice and I didn't feel bad about it. But, you know, other people would probably, the way they would have done it, I probably would have said, you know what? I need to stop doing this. Because I was saying that word like I knew what that word was. But guess what? I didn't. I was corrected. I didn't allow that to stop me from doing my purpose for God. He cried out. So here's it. Don't let the voice of those around you stop you from what God has for you. God had sight for this man. He may have something else for you. He may have some sort of ministry and nobody really understands it and they really want to stop you. Here's the other thing. Don't allow your limitations to stop you. The first thing I think of when I think of Zacchaeus, I thought about the song when I was a kid to get it this time, is that he was a little man. And the crowds were preventing him from seeing Jesus. Now, let me give you a little. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. That means they didn't like him. Nobody liked the tax collector. In fact, they saw him as a traitor. He was a Jew working for the Romans, taking away their money. So when they had to pay tax and they go to see him, they didn't like him at all. So the first limitation he has, he wasn't very liked. Have you ever been in that situation? Not very liked? The second thing, he was short. So here's the thing. If you're not liked and you're in the crowd, nobody's making room for you. So he wants to see Jesus. The crowd is thick. And nobody would let him through because they didn't like him at all. But he knew one thing. He wanted to see Jesus. So he did not allow his limitation in the flesh to prevent him from seeing Jesus, so he ran ahead of the crowd. Now, when they see he ran ahead, maybe they thought, finally, he's gone. And he climbed up a tree and waited for Jesus to pass by. And when Jesus is passing by, There's crowds on both sides. There's crowd in the back, crowd in the front. Jesus looked up. And Jesus says, come, I am going to your house. Wait a minute. Now, I'm going to spiritualize a little bit. Do you notice Zacchaeus didn't say, Jesus, come to my house? Did you all notice that? Jesus invited himself to his house. Now, let me spiritualize it. You have no control over Jesus. You have no control over Jesus. You can't intimidate Jesus. You can't make Jesus do anything. Jesus is the one who invites himself to your home. Jesus is the one who says, come unto me. Jesus is the one who said, I am going to die for you. It was Jesus' decision to go to that man's house. Now, here's another thing. That man could have said, don't come to my house. My house is dirty. Let's go to the synagogue. Maybe more spiritual. But the man got down and took Jesus to his house without question. What limitations you think you have that keep you from seeing Jesus? You know, I had a lot of limitations against me. I probably only had an 8th grade education. I couldn't even read like an 8th grader when I went to college. Limitations. But Jesus is the one who said, I want you to go to school. I'm not the one. Jesus. And here's the thing. When Jesus speaks to you and you follow, Jesus takes care of you. So he hurried and came down, verse 6, and received him, how? Joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. When I was trying to go to Coa Falls, there was a lot of folks that didn't want me to go. I remember that they take me to an office and it was a predominantly white church, and this is not about white or black, but they got all the 4 black families that were there, and they met me in the office. And they said, you shouldn't go to Coa Falls. Number one, you go into Georgia, full of prejudice. Number two, you go into a school that is not Assembly of God. That's an alliance school. They don't believe the way we do. Number three, you don't have the education that is you need. And I said to them, I'm going home and I'm going to pray. And whatever Jesus says, I'll do. I went home and people could get you exhausted. I was so exhausted. I knelt at my bed and I said, Jesus, I'm going to bed, I'm very exhausted, but when I wake up in the morning, tell me exactly what to do, and I went to bed. I woke up in the morning, and I heard the Lord said to me, go to Coa Falls. I went to prayer meeting at 6 o'clock that morning. I told the pastor, I said, the Lord said to me, go to Coa Falls. And he said to me, if the Lord tell you to go, the Lord will take care of you. And I said, amen. And off to Coa I went. When we follow what God says, God takes care of you. That man didn't even hesitate. He joyfully got down from that tree and took Jesus to his house. Do you remember about three Sundays ago, we talked about a rich young ruler? Jesus goes to this man's house, and guess what? This man is rich. Jesus just told the disciples that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Didn't he tell them that? And then they said, if so, it is impossible. And Jesus said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This man was in an impossible situation. He had some money. How do I know that? The Bible said he was rich. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I'll give to the poor. Half of what he have, he's given to the poor. And if I had defrauded, praise you, Lord, hallelujah. Good to have a beautiful wife that can help you out. Anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, listen to what Jesus said. Today, salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come to this house. Did you notice Jesus didn't say, go and get rid of everything you have and come follow me? Now, this was a rich man, just like the rich young ruler, wasn't he? But Jesus didn't give him the same. Why? His heart was different. He had a heart to follow Christ. Jesus didn't have to tell him anything at all, and he was not putting his full hope in his riches. And as he spoke, Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. I wish that rich young ruler could have heard these same words from Jesus. When Jesus says, come, follow me, and he says, okay, I'm going to go give it to the poor and follow me. Follow Jesus. Why? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man come to seek and to save the lost. What is this season all about? Salvation. What is Christmas Day all about? Is Christ coming so that we could have life and we could have that life more abundantly? What is this season all about? It's about obeying Jesus. It's about following Jesus. Unfortunately, even in the church, it's about giving and receiving gifts. Unfortunately, it's about festivities and not about Christ. Unfortunately, it's about profit and not about giving. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the festivity. I love the giving and receiving of gifts. But if that's where we're going to focus our attention, we really truly do not understand what this season is all about. I was sitting back there and I think, what if the same way we look at, you know, when we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday, we do celebrate it in a great way. What if we take this holiday and celebrate it as a time of evangelism? What if we take this holiday and use it as a time when we share with people what the true meaning of being one in Christ is all about? What if we choose this holiday and say, yes, Lord, I am willing to follow you? What if we say, Lord, have mercy on me? What if? What if this is the one time of the year every person make a decision, I'm going to win one person to Christ this season. One person. If each one of us in here shared the gospel of Jesus Christ this time of the season and win one person to Christ, in 5 years, we'll have little churches all over the community because everybody is trying to win somebody, because the purpose of this season is to win the lost. I thank God that at 12 years old, he met me at an open-air meeting and touched my heart. And the process wasn't instant because I didn't fully commit my life to the Lord until I was about 18 years old. And I haven't looked back since. What is hindering you from following Christ wholeheartedly? Let me tell you, the best thing you could do this season is to surrender it all to Jesus. Surrender it all to Jesus. Give it all to him. You know, last night I was having a rough time. I wasn't sleeping. My wife said, it's that cup of coffee I took. And I wanted that coffee. I was cold. That coffee warmed me up, but it didn't make me sleep. And I'm laying there in the bed, awake, and I just start praying. I prayed. Every one of you that's sitting here today got prayed for last night. Every one of you. Why? Because I said, Lord, I want each person here to be so fully surrendered to you. What if this holiday you make a decision? This is about Christ coming to set us free from sin and to make us everything that we need to be for him. If this season is about Christ, let us as believers surrender all to him. And I tell you, it's the best gift you would ever receive when you walk in completely surrendered to Christ. I prayed about a few things about myself also, because I know me best. And I asked God to take some of the stuff that I have that I believe that is hindering me from being all I can be for him. And then I start thinking, when last have I shared the gospel? I preach. I share it to the youth at UVN when I preach. But when last did I stand up in the line at Walmart, which I don't want to go into town this holiday. And there's always somebody that strikes up a conversation with you. If you hang around in the line long enough, somebody's going to say something. When last have I told them that Jesus came to save them from this dark world. And here's the thing, folks. All Jesus said was, I am coming to your house. The Bible didn't give us no big 3 spiritual laws, 4 spiritual laws. It didn't tell us the 2 main questions. If you die tonight, would you go to heaven? And when you get there, what you would tell Jesus, why to let you in? He didn't say, he says, I'm going to your house. Sometimes we make a big deal on how we share the gospel. It's not how you share the gospel, because it all depends on the drawing of the Holy Spirit. You could just tell them in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and they could start crying and repent because they're ready. But I wonder how many opportunities we don't see God's mercy operating and grace in people's life because we feel like we don't have what it takes. If I waited for to have what it takes to do what God called me to do, I'd be still waiting. Because every Sunday somebody have to correct something I says. See? Almost gave you one to correct me. But what? I'm not going to let it stop me. Why? Because my desire is to follow Christ in spite of my limitations. Are you going to do the same? Let's pray. Father, let us this season see how much we need.